Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him to her home. She had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at Jesus' feet and listened to his words. Martha, who was busy with all the details of hospitality, came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, do you not care that my sister has left me all alone to do the household tasks? Tell her to help me." Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and upset about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. Mary has chosen the better part, and she will not be deprived of it." The good news? Glory and praise. Well, I'm going to tell you about Father Brian Massengale. He is a professor of theological and social ethics at Fordham University. He is African American and gay. I'm reminded of the great Charles Pierce one-liner that says, "I'd rather be black than gay, because when you're black, you don't have to tell your mother." I imagine his mother was aware of both. Brian is a great friend of Dignity USA and New Ways Ministry. I've met him on a couple of occasions and enjoyed chatting with him. He is a brilliant man and a fine author and lecturer. Last month at the World Pride Celebration in Washington, D.C., Brian gave a presentation entitled "Queer Lament and Courageous Dreaming." The talk was introduced by Dignity USA's Executive Director, Marianne Duddy Burke, who many of us know, and attended by members of our Washington chapter and others. It was outstanding, and I highly recommend watching it on YouTube. It includes lots of interesting slides, and the talk has concluded with a long but fascinating Q&A session. Now, a link to the full program will be included in today's announcements that you will receive in your email, thanks to Ed. Now, I mention Father Massengale because, as a member of two frequently hated and misunderstood cultural groups, he knows firsthand what inhospitality looks like. Throughout his life, he put up with more than his share of racism and homophobia. Abraham and Sarah, in today's Genesis reading, and Martha and Mary in Luke's story, demonstrate how the biblical value of hospitality is supposed to be exercised. There are numerous teachings in our scriptures about how the stranger is to be received and how the weary are to be taken care of. Just getting around was dangerous in those days. In last week's gospel, we heard a parable about a man on his way to Jericho who was robbed and beaten, and Jesus taught about what it means to be a neighbor, to be hospitable. If you lived then and you had any decency at all, you would make your home a place of refuge for all travelers, even foreign ones. Otherwise, something horrible could happen to them, and it would be on your head. Hospitality was regarded as a truly sacred responsibility. Inhospitality was actually the sin of Sodom. That sin, many would be surprised to learn, had practically nothing to do with sex. Whenever the prophets mentioned the people of Sodom, they criticized their empty sacrifices, their selfish unwillingness to help the oppressed, orphans and widows, their hypocrisy and corruption. Ezekiel wrote that they were arrogant They had abundant food and not a care in the world, but refused to help the poor and needy. Our country, sad to say, seems to be looking more and more like Sodom. Many of our government officials and their billionaire friends, let's face it, are Sodomites in the true biblical sense of that word. Brian's presentation noted some serious examples of the sin of inhospitality. Not only are our representatives cutting aid to some of our most essential poverty reduction programs, but they're deporting our friends and neighbors without due process and trying to end the constitutional guarantee of birthright citizenship. Oh, they love the Statue of Liberty, but not the Emma Lazarus poem engraved on it. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Our transgender and non-binary siblings have been victimized by this cruelty as well. Numerous state laws have been proposed to make life harder for them. By executive order, it is now the policy of the United States to recognize only two genders, male and female. One can hardly become more inhospitable than that, refusing to acknowledge the very existence of non-cisgendered people. Sounds like the attitude of the people of ancient Sodom. Again, Brian Massengale's talk was called Queer Lament and Courageous Dreaming. But it's not just LGBTQ plus folks and people of color and immigrants and the poor that are lamenting. We all are. We all are lamenting. Like democracy itself, hospitality, which America has always claimed to value, has been eroding. And it's crucial that we engage in courageous dreaming if we are to have any hope of reviving that virtue and rescue ourselves from becoming another Sodom. Perhaps it was just such dreaming that our Genesis author was doing when he composed our story about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham had received a promise from God that he would become the father of many nations. Well, how was that going to happen when his wife was barren? There was much for that old patriarch to lament about. But now it was time to be hospitable and to dream. Traditionally, the three persons in today's reading, to whom they were so wildly generous, were actually thought of as angels. And angels in those days were, to the Hebrew mind, truly the very presence of the divine. That would explain how one of them knew that 90-some-year-old Sarah would give birth to Isaac less than a year later. Sarah thought that was just ridiculous, and she laughed. Who wouldn't? The name Isaac, by the way, means God's laugh. There is joy in the courageous dreaming that she did, and God always gets the last laugh. Perhaps it was out of joy that Luke told of a visit by Jesus to the home of two very different sisters. Typically, the Martha and Mary story is understood as a teaching about two ways to live the faith, contemplation and action. Both are important, of course, although I don't like Luke's suggestion that one is better than the other. It's a short reading, only five verses. But the two sisters are mentioned again in the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, when Jesus raises their dead brother, Lazarus. So this broader Martha and Mary tale and the one about Abraham and Sarah have something in common. They both demonstrate that new life can come from hospitality. For Sarah, that new life was Isaac. God's laugh. For the two sisters, it was Lazarus, a name which means God's help. God laughs and God helps. An angel reveals the laughter, and the Jesus of John's gospel brings God's help back to life. Don't let them steal your joy. That's advice I hear a lot in these hard times of government cruelty and corruption. But there is more to joy than some shallow happiness. It is in finding fun in working to make the world more hospitable. The late great Texas liberal Molly Ivins used to tell her fellow troublemakers, "Keep fighting for freedom and justice, beloveds, and don't you forget to have fun doing it. Lord, let your laughter ring forth. Be courageous. Ridicule the fraidy cats. Rejoice in all the oddities that freedom can produce." Joy, my friends, is a kind of stubborn refusal to give up. But more than that, it is a confidence in a hospitality that is actually cosmic. The divine energy that fills the universe, a power that I like to call God, has been laughing and helping since the Big Bang. It has been providing us with all that we need for our short stay on this planet, if only we would share it. We have plenty. There are more than enough Marthas to fuss over details, and more than enough Marys to hear us when we need to be heard. There are more than enough resources to eliminate poverty, to be sure that everyone has meaningful work and a living wage and decent benefits. More than enough to satisfy our need for beauty and wisdom. More than enough diversity and wonder. We are overflowing, overflowing with divine laughter, Isaac, and godly help, Lazarus. All to protect our joy. And that amazing cosmic energy is within us. Mystics call it the Holy Spirit. Our second reading today calls it the mystery of Christ in you, your hope of glory. If new life can come from living this value called hospitality, from refusing to be a new Sodom, then it's time for us to dream courageously. We can bring new life when we are hospitable enough to be a refuge to those in danger. Several countries have issued travel advisories for transgender and non-binary persons who may want to visit our country. How shameful that our nation has become less safe for our siblings and that they are getting the message that they are not welcome here. There may be cruel and insecure people who want to endanger those lives, but we don't have to go along with them. Not our policy. We can bring new life when we stand by those who are in danger of illegal deportation. We can document and bring to light any unconstitutional behavior by any agency, including ICE. When there is corruption, sunlight, they say, is the best disinfectant. And it can melt ice. We can bring new life when we raise hell with our representatives who seem to lack a conscience or a spine, who refuse to stand up to those who want to hurt our people or our environment. And we can work to comfort those, the ones who are harmed by those policies, and try to undo the damage that has already been done. We can't stop it all, but we can be a welcoming first aid station. We can bring new life when we offer our talent, our money, our energy, our ingenuity to organizations and ministries that strive to welcome all, that value diversity, equity, and inclusion. New life happens when we walk with protesters and picketers and boycott businesses that cave to selfish billionaires. We can vote for candidates for office who have integrity, who can't be bought by the super rich, and who are willing to abide by their oath of office. All of that is my courageous dreaming that Father Massengale's talk inspired in me. When I live those dreams, the reign of God happens. Now you may think, come on, Richard. Elected officials with integrity, get real. But cynicism, my friends, is our enemy. And it is deadly. And despair is not an option. But courageous dreaming, there's an option. One that leads to hospitality. And that leads to new life. May we be radical dreamers. And God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Your thoughts?